Get ready. It's time. Christina, Catherine, Lisa, Amy, and Lauren. Welcome to the Cimarelli Podcast.
Hey, I'm Christina.
I'm Catherine.
I'm Amy.
I'm Lauren.
And we're Cimarelli.
Welcome back to
the Cimarelli Podcast.
Wow, we were so used to Lisa saying it. And now it's like she's gone.
It's been good having her back.
Rip. Yeah, at least we've had Lisa in a lot of episodes and she'll probably be in our next episode. I'm pretty sure. Don't quote me on that.
Yeah, don't quote her on it.
So welcome back, you guys. Today's episode is sponsored by Green Chef.
Oh, love of my life.
With Green Chef, you can discover new and delicious meals every week, such as...
One of my favorites was the barbecue cranberry pork. I think it had Brussels sprouts with like feta and almonds. Oh, it was delicious. Oh,
I had an amazing like ricotta mozzarella red pepper chicken with green
that
beans.
That was so good.
Oh my gosh. It was one of the best things I've ever tasted. Oh.
The both of the ones I love the most, I cannot even remember how to say all the things that were in them, but just trust me, I had two of the best meals of my life.
Literally.
They were amazing. So like good. Literally the best of my
and
life.
So easy to make.
Anyway, you can use our code CIMARELLI60 at greenchef.com/CIMARELLI60 to get 60% off plus free shipping. greenchef.com/CIMARELLI60. Link to the description. Check it out.
Thank you,
Green Chef.
We love you so deeply.
So today, do you know what we're doing?
The Big Sister Q&A. And this is episode 143.
Four.
I knew it was 143.
Four? Remember last time Kath went, 143.
Yeah.
This oh my gosh, this is 144, guys.
Yeah, because well, Cody Simpson.
Hello, yeah. Episode 144 for our Big Sister Q&A. This will be entirely on YouTube and Patreon, so stick around.
I'd like to point out that Amy and I are basically wearing the same shirt.
Kind of,
yeah.
Isn't that weird? And then you guys are wearing such dark colors. We're wearing such light bright.
They really are as well.
This is one of my favorite sweatshirts.
Same.
Oh my gosh.
Love it.
Okay, wait. This is a random side note because this says Santa Monica. Does anybody else feel like they cannot wear something that says Malibu?
No.
I feel like I can't for some reason.
No, I was going to get one recently.
I have a sweatshirt that says Sacramento and I wear that. Yeah. But I feel like I can't wear a Malibu one because people won't think that I've lived there and they'll think I'm
but
a weird
you
tourist.
Know you that did you live there.
I don't think anyone will think anything. By the way, most people think Malibu's in Hawaii or Florida anyway.
That's true.
The amount of people who are like, you're moving to Florida or you're moving to Hawaii?
Yeah.
Moved to Malibu, now I'm hanging out pavilions.
Miami, Maui, they all really confuse people, I've noticed. Anyway, let's get to our highs and lows of the week.
My low is that the last two nights, unprovoked, my mind decided to wake me up and have like a panel meeting. You know what I mean? Where they just all...
Like in the movie Inside Out?
Yes, that's exactly what happened.
Yes.
In the middle of the night, all of my various panel speakers decided to talk a lot.
Mm. Oof.
And I was just like so stressed and so annoyed and so bored and so tired and it sucked. So that was a low. Mm. A high. Was there a high? Oh, was that? Remember when I told you guys the saga of my debit card that has disappeared? I found it. And by I found it, I mean Ariel found it in her car. But last night, I had the sense in my mind to think, maybe it's in Ariel's car. I got to ask her if I can dig through her car. Mm. And it was. So love that.
Wait,
for me.
You want to go? Okay. My high was that, well, for context, my son Dominic was awake for like three nights in a row for like 3 hours in the middle of the night, and it was just exhausting.
That is so weird.
I didn't go to bed till like two or three those days. Well, more like three, honestly. And I was just like a zombie, and I just prayed, please, God, please, 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 please. And then last night, he actually slept through the night. It was amazing. I would say my low is that my tooth fell out yesterday.
That was so funny.
And I had to do
a last minute
dental appointment. It was actually a porcelain veneer because I had tooth damage, so I had to get porcelain veneers.
Yeah, it wasn't like your literal tooth.
Yeah, it wasn't my literal tooth.
Out.
It was a fake tooth. But it's literally my front tooth. Okay. So I had to go to the dentist at the last minute in the morning.
That is quite the low when your tooth falls out. My low is that... I have some unexplained currently, but hopefully very, very soon to be explained, health things going on. I'm pretty sure it's something similar like anemia or some thyroid stuff like postpartum. Hopefully it's something really simple, but it's really annoying. Like, literally, my hands are shaking right now. I have all these shaking hands, weak, blah, 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 all this annoying stuff. I'm, like, so freaking tired. And then also, on top of being dead tired, I can't sleep. I think it's giving me insomnia as well. Mm. So I'm up for hours in the middle of the night. And then I finally fall asleep when it's time to get up.
Because you have a child who's that. 4 months old?
Yeah, three? Except for Barrett's the one who's like, hug mama! Right when I fall asleep, I hear him on the monitor. I'm like, ah! Because he keeps doing that at like 6:30, 6:40. So then I have to sing to him on the monitor and get him to go to 7, whatever. He's in like a moment, you know, but... Anyway, so that's annoying. That's my low. And then my high is that I got a blood test. So I'm really excited because I'm going to get all these answers. And I'm like super, super, super excited because I'm getting all this stuff tested. So that's my high. I'm very excited to be finding answers, hopefully. Or at least ruling stuff out, which leads you to finding answers.
Mm-hmm. Love it. My low, so my foot is broken. That's just like a...
Perpetual
low. Just like trying to go up and down the stairs. It's just so annoying. Like, it's not that bad, but it's just like everything just takes longer and I have to like limp around. I'm just like, oh my gosh. So that's my low. My high, I can't really remember anything, but
me neither.
Last night was good. I didn't really do anything. I just felt like
good for you.
Calm. Yeah. How? Like I just felt like relaxed. I don't know why. But I just was like,
because you're like, I'm wrapping up all these projects. Maybe. I don't
know. Yeah. And I'm like, all right.
Another big thing behind me. Probably that. I'm over the hill.
Well, I'm not quite over the hill, but like
over a bunch of hills.
I'm over a lot of hills, yeah. So I don't know. I just felt like, huh.
It's like, whoa. We did our last cover that we have to do for a little bit of time.
Yeah.
Like, we got way ahead on our covers. So now you're like, okay, last cover's done. No more of that. Like, oh, what do I start now? You don't have to
start
it.
That's true. But I still have to finish some stuff. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe it was that. I just felt like.
That's how I'm feeling today. I'm like,
oh. Which I haven't felt in a minute. So that was nice.
Is that everyone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's go to our five perspectives, aka four. Okay.
You can be the fifth if you comment your perspective.
Would you include eggs in a meal that's not breakfast?
Okay. Let me rephrase. Would you eat breakfast type foods in a meal that's not breakfast?
Why'd
like
you say
the
eggs?
Other night, because that was just my first thought of the question. Okay. That was a real question. Like, okay. Like some people that I've seen, they'll cook up scrambled eggs as a side for their like lunch or dinner. Okay.
Oh.
Or like I had a breakfast burrito for dinner the other night.
Yes.
Would you do that? Do you do that? Or you're like, no. Breakfast is for breakfast.
Breakfast burritos, I do any meal of the day.
Do you think specifically, are you saying specifically scrambled eggs? Are you saying any like waffles or pancakes?
Yeah, sure, that too. But like my point was like, do you eat like breakfast stuff in other times? Because I think some people are like, I would never do that. And some are like, oh yeah, breakfast for dinner.
The only
like,
time I've ever had eggs with dinner is when I do chicken fried rice.
That doesn't really count.
Okay.
Because that's like...
So I would say no.
How do you do chicken fried rice? I think I'm trying to figure it out.
Breakfast burrito is totally any time of day.
Yeah. Because that's the thing. You run out of food, I have nothing to eat, but you probably have breakfast food. Breakfast for dinner.
I think I did that when I was single and I would forget to grocery shop and I'd be like, oh, all I have is waffles and sausage. So I would just make like a breakfast thing. But that was like more out of desperation, not like a planned thing. But I do think breakfast for dinner is fun. I just for some reason never think to do that.
I feel like
I never plan it.
Breakfast foods are like my favorite foods.
Oh yeah.
So do you eat them?
Breakfast is the best meal of the day.
I eat the same exact breakfast every single day. So I don't have like breakfast burritos like laying around.
Here's a sub-question.
Eggs and bread. And that's what
I eat. You're not answering the question.
No. If I did have them laying around, yes.
Okay. I make the best, easiest ever breakfast burrito.
Oh, I got it.
All I do is I take these stupid potatoes that have, they have peppers and onions already in them in the freezer. Chopped up.
Ooh.
I put them in a bowl in the microwave to start the heating process.
Oh, okay.
I throw it in the pan. And it starts getting crispy.
Throw it in the bag.
I take that bowl. I crack my eggs in it. I whisk the eggs. I put on salt, pepper, garlic, onion. I pour the eggs on top of the
potatoes.
Cook it all together.
Do you do like cheese or anything?
Take the tortilla, put on pepper jack cheese, heat it up, put it on top, and then green hot sauce.
Okay.
And it's so
wait, what I made good. Was I did tortilla, pepper jack cheese, bacon, eggs, and black beans and green salsa.
Oh, yeah, that sounds great.
Okay, okay. I'll tell you what that Max and I put in ours because I love our breakfast burrito. Like we get the tortillas that are dough. And
those
you cook
them.
Are oh my. So to me, that is
good.
The key to elevating a breakfast burrito. Then
oh,
we
it's
do
so good.
We put bacon.
That
we make
well
it bacon
good.
In the oven. So we just cook a pan of bacon in the oven. Just put it in, forget about it. We do bacon. We do eggs with potatoes. So we make the crispy potatoes and then
so
we put
good.
The eggs together with
guys,
it and make
yes,
one mixture.
Yes, that's what I do. It's
and
so good.
And then we do homemade guacamole.
Ooh.
And then cheese and
when
salsa.
When you guys
oh,
say
good.
Breakfast burritos, I literally was just thinking like frozen ones.
Oh my god!
I've never made I've never made a breakfast burrito in my entire
so
life.
Okay, now I'm gonna make, now this is making me.
One.
I gotta make them this week.
Yeah,
out
I had
Max.
One. I had
oh,
mine this morning.
They're so good.
Mine's like that's like my quick, easy one.
Oh, they're so
you,
good.
For me, bacon is one of those things. Where, like I have to have the
yeah.
mental energy.
Yeah. It's too It's a weekend meal. It's something we'd only do on like a Saturday.
But bacon
it's too
is
much time.
It really is so good.
Yeah,
okay.
Kat, that sounds great.
Also, oh, if you home make refried beans.
That sounds really good.
I just do
good.
Black beans from
amazing.
The can.
We don't do beans, which maybe we're doing it wrong. So I'm like, I feel like you need
it's
beans.
However you want it.
Yeah, I don't know. I will say that combo of like eggs, potato, bacon, and guacamole with some cheese and
yes.
salsa is
that's
really
good. I want to have that right now.
Oh, guys, you should come over. We should do a yeah. breakfast burrito day. That'd be so
I
fun.
I was just thinking we should do that. Okay.
Wow.
Let's definitely plan that, except her mom hates them. So I was just talking
well,
to her about this
morning.
She
doesn't have to do
No, no. We could do a breakfast burrito bar. And
yeah.
then you just lay out all the ingredients and everyone
Mom
okay.
can just have the eggs.
How fun would that be? Let's do
I
that.
I love it.
Are I'll you make supposed to cook the tortilla, though?
You
yes,
put in the
I
toaster.
Will cook them. It's so easy. No, no. You get the raw ones, and then you cook it on the stove. It takes a minute. 30
or that,
seconds
yeah.
on each side.
Those
it's
are super
so
easy.
Good.
I love it.
It's,
I'm coming.
Yeah, those are literally
100 times better than
I
just
I love
a,
to hear it.
And cooked. You know what I'm going to remember to say today is everyone who's not a patron, if you're not a member of our Patreon, it's $5 a month. And if you join Patreon, you get every single podcast episode because we only put half of every other episode on YouTube. You get all the podcast episodes and you get all of our Q&As where we answer your guys' questions. So you get like a lot more contact with us and you're supporting the Simmerly podcast, supporting us in general. It's just amazing. And it's a positive community.
Mm-hmm.
They're behind the scenes videos that I think are really cool. You actually want to see what goes on behind the scenes. You will get to see it there. If you love Simmerelli, you love the podcast, you want to support us, definitely check it out. It's $5 a month for that. And if you go to the $10 a month one, you get to do a live stream with us every month and ask questions. And because it's not as many people as like our YouTube, we see like every comment and we read them. We talk to you guys. So just saying, if you want to support us and join, it's linked in the description, patreon.com/Simmerelli. You can check it out. Try it for a month. See what you think. So shall we get to the main
topic at hand?
Oh, yeah. The Q&A me. Just kidding.
Okay. I got to say, we're doing a big sister Q&A. So it's like, you know, you don't have a big sister to ask for their advice. We got you.
We do.
We're going to give you our advice.
I'm intrigued.
What?
Because when we did it.
What?
When we did an advice
the
episode
way you said that.
Before.
We got you.
We got you.
How do you think I talk? We got you.
What? I'm so confused.
So this, I have to say this one girl, I'm not going to out her, but this is what she said. Why don't guys like me? And the next one she said, psych, crying, laughing. So I think
that might be why.
I think she's saying like,
wait, no, I think she's saying the guys
do
actually
like
do like her.
But I'm gonna not
vote
gonna,
in the comments below if you think she's saying that.
Okay, yes, I think that's what you were saying. I'm not gonna say your name, but I think that is actually a thing that people think. I thought that as a teen all the time. Why don't guys like me? So I think we should answer that one first. I think girls think this all the time.
Oh, yeah. That's a very
why don't
wild
guys like
thing.
Me? Yes.
Could be a myriad of reasons.
Well, do
oh,
you have any
one
ideas?
Could be
but
your,
maybe they don't.
Okay, here's the thing. I think that sometimes you can be like me where you're actually like, you have
blinders
or like glasses on that you don't see it.
Yeah.
Or also you push every guy away. So then you're like, why don't they like me? That might be why.
I would have been like, I can tell you for me, I would because I would have been like, what? I'm not pushing anyway. No one's talking to me. That's what I would have been thinking. Be like, what? And then it's like you think your mom's gonna say like, oh well, honey, you're great. They will like you. And you're like, what? which is kind of what I'm going to say, but not exactly. So I'll tell you. But when I was in that phase of like, I'm going to die alone, which Lisa really took that phase and ran with it more than I did. I saw her Instagram story. Oh, yeah.
Lisa
today.
Just said her story. She's like, I never thought I'd be married. Yeah. I thought I was going to die alone.
But aww. I, as a younger teenager, I was definitely like, no guy's ever going to talk to me. I'm going to die alone. Because my friends were like dating when they were like really young. And no guy was asking me to date him. So I was like, guys don't even see me. But here's kind of what I figured out. I was not putting myself out there. And what does that mean? I was almost like hiding myself. Like I wasn't very confident in myself. I went through this moment where I was like, I'm going to take back my life. Kind of, well, I was like 16 and I went shopping and I got all these like dresses. I was like, I'm going to wear dresses. I'm going to have fun. I don't know. It was like a mindset shift. And then it all changed. So what does that tell you? I don't really know. It's kind of like, I decided like, I want to live. I want to be out there. I want to wear a dress, smile, whatever. You don't have to wear a dress. You can, like, whatever that is
for you. But that, like, symbolized you putting myself out there.
It was my thing. So it's kind of like,
interesting.
I felt like I was like, oh, I'll smile at a guy. Maybe I'll do my hair in the way that I want to do it. I won't just be like, oh, I'm not
going to
try it all. I don't know. It's kind of confusing, but I feel like if, this is my thing. If nobody likes you, then I would say nobody knows you.
Ooh.
Because I think, and it's hard to believe this when you're in that state of mind, but I think that every single person, I have proof. Here's my proof. Single person is lovable, likable.
Yes.
Someone will love
absolutely.
You. Where's my proof of that? Children.
Aww.
Every child, even if they're annoying, before that, there was a time when they weren't annoying. I'm just telling you.
That's true.
Every child is like this light of the world. Every single child. There's no child who's not that. Every baby, it's like you're born like that.
Yeah, they're so cute.
You're just born like that and you can't help it. Period. The end. You just can't change it. It's just, we're creating God's image and that's the end. That's the end. But as we get older, I think we start to like darkness can come and we can like be insecure and things happen and we can like cover up a little bit.
Ooh.
And I think that is what makes people not like us or not be drawn to us because we're not putting our authentic selves out there. Or maybe you're trying to be someone else too much and like you being like a not really that good version of someone else. It's not just not good. As appealing, you know? Yeah. So what I'm saying is be yourself.
Be yourself.
Find yourself. Be authentic. Put yourself out there. And you are lovable. You are likable. I'm telling you, it's true 100%. It's a fact. But maybe you're just not being you. People aren't seeing and knowing you.
I love that.
That's my thought.
Yeah. And I think that you have to kind of question your beliefs if you feel that way, because you might be completely wrong. People might actually like you and you just don't even notice it. Or you just, I really do think that the beliefs we hold about ourselves are a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Wait, it's like in Meet the Robinsons. Or Robinsons? I don't remember what their name is.
I think it's Robinsons.
And that's one of my favorite movies of all time. You guys please need to watch it.
I've seen it.
Oh, it's so good. Where the guy's like, everybody in school hated me. And he's like the villain. And it's literally him walking down the hallway and everyone's like, hey, Goob. What's up, Goob? How's it going? And he's like, everybody hated me.
Yeah, it's like your perspective. I remember when I left my hometown, one of my friend's sisters said to me, oh, this guy at my work said he always had a crush on you.
What?
And he's like, oh, yeah, Catherine, I remember she was the tall sister. Oh, I always thought she was really pretty. And I was like, what? I didn't even know who this person was. I literally, to this day, have no idea who.
The
like,
tall sister.
Like, I think his name was Matt or something. And she was just like, oh, yeah, he said he always had a crush on you. I can't remember where he even knew me from, swim team or something. I didn't even know him. I don't even know who he was.
But
I really do think that I gave off a vibe of don't talk to me because I was scared of rejection. So you have to kind of like, and I had a similar thing where I went through like a transformation where I remember I got really into skateboarding. I got really into reading. I got really into writing poetry. And I had this sort of and playing bass. And I remember I didn't believe I was beautiful looking, but I started to feel like confident in what I had to say. And I was like, I actually think I have some good opinions.
I relate to that.
And then I think that sort of like the beauty of the soul, that's a quote from, I think, Fulton Sheen, the beauty of the soul shines itself onto the face. It's like when you start with your inner confidence of like who you are,
I love it.
It sort of shines onto your
iconic.
Out of you.
That's true.
Love it.
And I
love
think
it.
Confidence attracts people.
Would never listen.
I remember I said this to mom one time. I feel like no one ever talked to the parents and I did.
No.
Oh, no. Really?
Well, no about what?
I was like, I feel like no boys like me.
I would never say that to her.
Did any of you say that?
She just said, wait till you're 25.
I would not say that to mom. I said to mom,
you know what I would say
dad.
Is more, oh, I don't have any
did
friends.
Did you say that? Oh, I said it and mom was like, well, when I was your age or something, I found out all these boys had a crush on me, but they didn't tell me. Like, what casting? And I was like, that's not true. It doesn't really help me. I was mad. And then dad said, you are such a cool person. And people are going to see that.
I should have said that. So like, maybe he'd say that to me.
I was like, thanks. And then they saw it.
Good for you.
So.
And I also.
That was a wild time. I literally remember.
Yeah.
When you like started dating and stuff. Like actually.
When they started to see
your transformation.
Person.
Yeah. And I. Oh yeah. Driving
and
around
I saw
the minivan.
Kat's transformation. I was like, wow, she's doing all this stuff now.
I was finding
she's being
myself.
All, like, artsy.
Whipping in the minivan.
And I will say this is maybe unrelated, but in terms of love in general, I just want to say that don't give up on love.
Don't give up.
You
people.
Have to have this hope. In your soul. It's like, you have to have this. To me, I had this attitude of, okay, yeah, my love life has been a giant heaping pile of garbage, but tomorrow that could change. Tomorrow.
So true.
I could meet the right person. Like, it could literally be anywhere. It could be this coffee shop I'm about to go to. Like, I feel like I live my life with this sense of like, it could happen at any moment and it could literally change in one day. So
how do you get
that? To me, that helped me.
I would think
you
of that
choose
too. All the
to
time.
Think like that.
Just take the belief on.
Okay,
take it on.
Just
because
think like
that's
that.
True. That's real. Anything could
that
happen.
Is so
that's
true.
You never know what's going to happen tomorrow.
You
how many
literally
times
don't.
Have you been shocked by something that just happened to you? And you're like, I did
so
not. Expect
I will
that.
Say that is a it's a Taylor Swift, early Taylor Swift esque way of living. It kind of makes you feel like life is magical, and there's like
yeah.
something could happen at any moment. And
okay,
you're just,
I love that.
Every day is a new adventure, and that's, it makes you want to like put on a cool outfit or like look around the room, see if there's anyone interesting. Thing.
That's
like,
gonna be
know.
The 2023 meme.
It kind of gives you an open vibe.
That's gonna be the 2023
love
meme,
it
my
love it
so life here's the problem with this question. It says capital letters what, and then it says do you do with you knew while you were younger
what.
Wait, what
I don't
I think
know
they mean
asking.
What do you wish you knew when you were younger.
That's a good question. Sorry whoever that was. I sorry. What do you wish you knew?
Things don't last forever. Just all the bad things, all the
yeah.
hard things. They don't last forever, and don't take that as the good things will last forever, too, because I take that. It's not fun, so don't think like that. But just remember, like, things don't last forever, and things always get better.
Mm.
They always do. There's never been a thing that didn't get better, so just remember that.
I feel like this is a weird question because it's like, I feel like everything that like, oh, I wish I knew, I did know, but I just didn't like get it. Like,
okay.
You hear all these like cliches. It's like, those are the things that I wish I knew, but I heard them, but I just didn't get it because I was too young to like understand.
Was there anything you feel like your younger self really needed to hear? Like if someone could have told them that, it would have been really helpful for that for you?
Not really. Like, I just feel like
I
wouldn't listen. Like, I'd be like, yeah, I already know.
Oh, I have one no one told me, which was I really wish my younger self really needed to know that you have all these feelings that you are pushing down you don't even know exist, and they deserve to be heard. You
Ooh.
Need to talk to people. You need to journal. You need to start journaling. You need to start going on your walks and listening to songs that make you feel emotions or a lot earlier. You need it. Desperately. That's what my younger self really needed to know.
Okay.
That it is okay to have all these emotions and to let them out. And you gotta get an outlet and you gotta get it now.
Sad Girls
That's
Club.
Really good.
I needed that so bad.
That is the best song ever. I listened to it the other day and I was like, we have lost but we left.
And I think kind of going off what you're saying, but like my own version of that was the phrase keeps coming to mind when I think of when I was younger is the only way out is through.
Oh, so
and
true.
I feel like when I was younger, I was really afraid that if I ever let myself be sad, I was going to get stuck in the sadness and never be free of it. It was like, I don't want to go into my sadness because I'm going to get stuck in a black hole and I'm going to get trapped. But I found that if I actually really expressed it and just kept writing until my hand was throbbing
one.
And I like literally I remember my hands would be covered in like I'd always write in pencil for some reason. And I have just pencil lead all over my hands and I'd be journaling for 3 hours and scribbling. And at the end, I was just kind of like, oh, I feel lighter. I feel a lot better. And it's like
I love that.
The thing you're afraid of feeling yes, it might hurt for a moment, but you're going to feel so much better if you just feel it and like move through it.
Yes.
The only way out is through. That is like a quote that has guided me.
Oh, love
it. I just thought of another one I really need to know. I also really need to know that what you are experiencing all the time is social anxiety, and you actually will overcome that and feel way different.
Yeah.
I was like, why does everything just suck, basically? It's like, why do I feel so, I don't even know if I knew, thought it was weird, but I was like, why do all these interactions are just so annoying? I don't know. It was just so uncomfortable all the time. But I had no idea that I didn't have to feel like that all the time, and I wouldn't feel like that all the time. Mm. That you will become way more confident and not feel like that anymore. And it's not actually just going to be normal. It's actually called social anxiety. I can't believe none of my therapists ever diagnosed me with that.
Well, mm-hmm. That was a different time.
That's true.
Yeah. Now they probably would have.
That's so true. So true. Okay. Should we go to the next question? How did you get through high school without getting so stressed out?
I did not.
Do that. Did not.
I think it was easier because we were homeschooled to not be like as strung out, but I was literally strung out and stressed and crying every day over school.
It's a really hard time, and there's so much pressure on you. And I think a lot of people's parents put too much pressure on them because it's like they want to prove something through their kids oftentimes. I probably don't mean to do this, but it's like if my kid doesn't get into like a good college or my kid has bad grades, then it means I'm a bad parent, or it means like I'm dumb or something. Or like maybe the parent didn't get what they wanted, and they're like, if my kid could get it, then I can be proud of that and I can feel like I redeemed myself. So I think we like feel that as like the kids. So there's so much pressure for all that. And it's just weird when you're on the other side, when you're like in your 30s, or I don't know if you've seen it now, being in your 20s, and you see like where your friends end up and how a lot of them didn't even use their college degree and end up going to college again later for a different degree.
Yeah.
Or just they change so much, and it's like they shouldn't be put through so much pressure for grades and career.
Because it's a status thing. It's not like for their own good. It's more for status. Not that they don't think it's for their own good, but it's more status above health.
It seems like such a scary thing, like the idea of trying to get a job when you're in high school. It's like the idea of trying to get a job in the real world in your 20s and have a career sounds like impossible and like so daunting and horrifying. But really, let me tell you something important. Really, it's pretty simple. First of all, there are way more career paths than you ever thought you ever could imagine. Yeah. We have learned so many things in the entertainment industry. We didn't even know all these different jobs existed, but in life, there's so many jobs. You ever find out and you're like, that's a job?
Yeah.
That's a job? That's a kind of doctor? That's a kind of physical therapist? Like all these things I never knew existed. Like I didn't know pelvic floor physical therapists existed. I didn't know that was a job.
Yeah.
Who knew that? But anyway, here's the important thing. As someone who has personally interviewed and hired a lot of people, let me just tell you something very simple. Employers are just looking for a few things in general. First of all, we generally, depending on the field, if you're a doctor, this is really important. If you're not necessarily, it might not be as important, but generally someone who's like educated in the field somewhat, once again, for medicine, really important. For other things, not that important if the person has other things. So they need to know some, either a lot or a little, depending on the field. Number two, employers want people who are reliable, trustworthy, good people. I can count on them. They're going to come to work. They're going to contact me, get back to me, respond.
Communicate.
They're reliable and trustworthy. Number three, they would like someone who is easy to work with, not horribly difficult to work with. It's great when you can hire someone who doesn't make your life a living hell, but you have to keep them because they're so good at what they're doing. But you're like, I don't know if I can, though, because they're making my life a living hell because they're so annoying to work with. And four, well, yeah, I guess maybe those are the main things. But I would say also a lot of employers can see like potential and be like, you don't have a lot of these things yet, but I can tell that you're going to grow into this and I should hire you because I see a lot of potential in you.
Yeah. And
that's all they want.
One thing also is that people don't know that the majority of people switch careers like multiple times.
A bunch of times. That's a fact.
What is it, like three or something? It's like multiple times at least during the course of living.
So you don't have to have it
locked in. You don't have to have it all locked in when you're that young and when you're feeling all this crazy pressure.
And I think, I don't know if you guys agree with this, but I feel like the main thing you realize when you get older is like, Everything feels so impossible when you're younger of like,
yes.
How am I going to get a job? Yes. How am I going to get through college? How am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? How am I going to buy a car? How am I going to do all this stuff? Then you get older and you realize, you know what? You just figure it out. Mm-hmm. And then especially when you realize things, you're like, wait, like everyone does this thing. It's not impossible. Yes. And I think just like knowing that, okay, as you do more things, then you'll feel more comfortable with like, okay, I thought that was impossible,
yes.
but it wasn't. Like
yes,
you'll get more comfortable with doing like scary, difficult things because you'll realize like, all right, I just figured it out. Last time, so I'll just do that again.
Yeah, like I was just reflecting on literally that same thing the other day because I realized, I was like, oh my gosh, this year, 2023, I'll have been driving for 10 years and I thought it was impossible to get a driver's license
because so it took scary. Me 2 years.
You know what? I kind of to drive.
It took me 2 years.
I kind of did too, though. I was terrified.
Yeah, it's like, how am I ever going to be comfortable doing this? Like, how am I ever even going to accomplish that? And then all of a sudden, you've been doing it for 10 years.
And you know what? I really want to drive this point home, you guys. For people who are like worried about your job and whatnot, it is really hard to find people who are reliable, trustworthy, and easy to work with. It's very hard to find. So if you can become reliable, trustworthy, hardworking, and easy to work with, if you can do that, I'm telling you, you will
You'll be
hired.
Fine.
You will be hired. It is so hard to find that. Just trust me on this. It is so hard to find. If you can just do that thing for yourself, you will be ahead of the game. I don't know what it is with people, but you'll be ahead of the game.
Yeah. Also, this is the last. Well, I was just thinking about this, but like, I don't know how feasible this is or whatever because I never tried it. But when you're trying to decide what to do, I think you should seek out like internships in these career paths that you want to be in.
Yeah. Totally.
See if you actually like it.
Before you sign up
like,
for a lifetime.
Yeah, because you could be like, oh, in theory, I like this thing. In practice, I hate it.
I bet you so many. Oh, it just sucks because everyone's like, I need to go to college right away and get out of college as soon as possible. Basically, I don't want to be behind everyone. But so many people would be so much better off if they took the year off after. After high school, and they tried a bunch of stuff to see what they actually like.
Internships, different jobs.
Before dedicating 4+ years of your life to college and all of that money. Hello, that would be waste. And then also looking at student loans and what that's going to mean for you in the future and making sure you're not signing up for something that's going to really screw you over if that's what's going on. Anyway, let's go to the next one.
Yeah.
How do you boost your confidence?
I think it starts a lot with getting to know yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because what is that phrase? You can't hate something up close or whatever that phrase
is. To know her is to love her. I think that's true, TBH, about everyone.
It's like if you know who you are and you're like, this is who I am, take it or leave it. It really does up your confidence a lot.
I feel like it's a little bit like fake it till you make it in the sense of like, I mean, I guess it's not fake, but like self-talk. Like if you are criticizing yourself all day, how are you going to be confident?
Yeah.
True.
Like I feel like that's definitely part of it for me is like being aware of what you're thinking about yourself and like trying to be like encouraging and supportive to yourself in your own mind. Oh,
a major thing is if you're around people that are criticizing you all the time or making low-key like jokes all the time. Like,
oh, yeah, that's just a number in your confidence.
That's going to erode your confidence so deeply and so quickly.
I think kind of going off the thing of, like, getting to know yourself, a lot of it comes from figuring out what you value and living out those values. Mm-hmm. I think that is, like, a big part of self-worth. If you're like, I really value honesty. I have, like, a policy of, like, if I say I'm going to do something, like, or maybe that's a different value, but I'm going to follow through with it.
That's or integrity.
Integrity, yeah. Or like, oh, I really value being a good friend. I'm going to like speak kindly about my friends. And
love
like if and someone says something, I'll like stand up for them. Or I want to be the person that's there for people. You know, not ignoring your mental health because you need to have your mental health.
Not codependent.
Yeah, but like just different things. And then I think if you define for yourself what values you hold and then you live those out, I think that really helps kind of cultivate a deep sense of
that's
like
so true.
Self-worth.
Because even just like knowing what you think about things, knowing like, okay, I know like my perception of the world, like I can say my opinion in a conversation and know that I've actually like thought about this enough to like have a real opinion or have like
a thought
on things. Because if you don't, then you're kind of like, oh, I don't really know.
And that just makes me think of something else this might be a weird answer, but I think personality tests are really helpful. Okay, specifically,
I think they are
the Enneagram, the Myers-Briggs, and the Strengths Finder, especially the Strengths Finder.
That one actually did help my confidence.
It kind of breaks you out of this mindset. I feel like there's a lot of people in the world that just think like, oh, people are supposed to be this certain way and I'm just not like that, so I'm not good enough or whatever. But it's like, no, every person has gifts. And when you know what yours are and you can lean into it, that definitely is like a confidence boost.
I haven't done that. I want to try that one.
I have to say what Kat's saying about like values, right? Values?
Yeah.
Like what you value. When I was 19, Nick was 19, my husband, he wrote me this letter and he was like, I want you to know like what I care about or something. He's like, I really value integrity. This. He told me all the values he really had.
Precious.
And that was why I was like, okay, I got to be with him. I wasn't really planning on it before that letter. And then the letter, I was like, I have to be with him. And it was, that's what she's saying. It's like he knew what meant a lot to him and like who he wanted to be, who he wanted to become. And that was a huge deal. And made me want to be with him. So there you go.
Cute.
Here's a great question. How do you tell your parents things that you think they're going to react badly to? So like something you think is going to disappoint them?
I think maybe you want to open up to them.
You want to open up to your parent and tell them something. Maybe you're struggling with
maybe
it.
Maybe you're failing in class. No offense. I'm going to say this in a light way. Off to their parents before telling them, over telling them that they've dropped out of school.
Are you saying in real life?
Yes.
Are you saying from your murder shows?
Yes.
Like real life.
Yes.
Wait,
before telling them that
over telling them.
Because like, they couldn't like, tell, them tell them they didn't graduate.
I didn't graduate. College? Or I'm leaving this whole lie. I can't tell them that. So.
Oh, wait, I've seen one of those.
Yeah, there's a few of those.
That's really scary.
Okay, that is a great point.
I don't think
point.
This person.
No, I'm just saying people would rather do drastic things than tell people things.
That's so true.
It's a hard thing to do.
That either they like failed in some way that they think that it's going to disappoint their parent or they did something wrong.
They feel ashamed of it.
Yeah.
That's a great point. So what would you do? What would you say?
Depends on the parent.
I think I have no clue.
I think two things come to mind. One is you should write out all your thoughts in a letter.
A letter.
Because I feel like you need to organize what you're going to say and maybe even give it to them as a good way to open the conversation. B, if you are nervous, maybe you have kind of more of a tumultuous relationship. You don't have the most sense of trust because your parents haven't made you feel safe for different reasons. Maybe talk to another adult who you do trust and kind of get their feedback of like, how should I approach this? And that way, if it goes badly, you can have support. That's more if your parents... Some people's parents aren't really safe for them.
Yeah. At that point,
I think it kind of, maybe they're good people overall, but sometimes they're a little abrasive or guilt trippy. Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
Well, maybe tell them one at a time instead of both at one time, too.
Okay. I have a good tip. We said this in we did a whole episode on like conflict or something.
Oh, yeah.
You should watch that. Oh, my gosh. You should watch. What is it called?
Oh, I don't remember.
Is it on Patreon? Oh, dang it. I think it's about conflict or something. Errol's going to look it up. And we talked about this and you need to watch that. If you have something to tell your parent or anyone where you're like not sure how they're going to take it and you're like really nervous. We did a whole episode on strategies to phrase things differently. That really helps. But when you phrase things, the way you start your conversation can really change how they will feel, how they will take it.
Yeah.
So if you come to them with, I'm trying to think of what it would be. If you say your fears before, often it's really helpful if you're like, so if you just come and you're like, I did this thing, they might just be like, meh. But if you're like, hey, I have something to tell you and I'm really nervous. I really don't want to say this. I don't want to tell you because I feel like ashamed or I really don't want you to be disappointed in me. I feel like such a failure. I feel so sad. I feel so scared. But what you tell them,
you show your vulnerability.
Feeling, you say that first. That is way different. And then you tell them that's way different than just coming out and saying it. And it makes them like empathize with you even more, hopefully. And like, and like feel more like, I don't know, connected before you drop the bomb on them. So I would do that. Tell them like the vulnerable side of you and what you're scared of and stuff. And like, I'm really scared that you're going to see me as like a bad person if I tell you this, but I need to open up to you because, and then tell them the intentions, like, I really want our relationship to be strong or I really need your help. I really want to be honest with you. That's why I wanted to share this with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And don't assume that you know how they're going to react. Like, I'm thinking about Moana. Moana, the movie, she goes to her mom and she's like, oh, Dad doesn't want me to sail beyond the reef. And she's like, oh, just because he doesn't get me. And then the mom's like, it's because he was you. And then she like explains the stuff that she would have totally never known. Wrong. So it's like she thought she knew for sure why, but then it was actually very different than what she thought.
That's another thing you can do is you can say, you can ask for like a certain reaction. You can't ask for their emotional reaction, like, don't be mad at me, but you can say, don't yell at me. I want to tell you
please
this,
don't yell.
Can you promise you're not going to yell at me so I'm not going to feel comfortable if I know you're about to yell at me. So can you promise me you're not going to yell at me and we can just have like a civil conversation? Like you can ask for that or I just really don't want, I'm scared that you're going to tell me that you think I'm a bad person if I do this. So can you please refrain from saying that if you're scared of something like that? That's helpful. Advice with guys after the last one didn't treat me right.
Oh, that's hard.
It's like you're scared, you've been hurt, and maybe you're like, I don't know what to do because this went really badly, so now I don't want to try this again, or like you feel kind of lost.
Well, you probably need to take some time for some healing first. Depending on how mistreated you were, you might need to go to therapy, like take some time alone to heal first. I wouldn't suggest jumping right in after you were mistreated. I wouldn't suggest that.
That's really hard. One thing that's come to mind, I have a friend that kind of went through that a lot and we talked about a lot of stuff. And I don't know, maybe this is encouraging, but one thing I would say to her is like, at least you know what to look for now. You know what the warning signs are. You know what it feels like to be around that person that's not safe. Mm-hmm. And if you feel that way again, you know that you can avoid that. And maybe someone who gives you like the opposite feeling would be good or a feeling of safety. I don't know. To me, that's the most important thing is I think your gut, especially when you first meet someone.
Oh, yeah.
Is really important to just trust that. Like something about this person, I feel not charmed, but like you feel like safe and like calm. And that's like a person, it's not exciting or like anxiety producing or nerve wracking. It's like very calm and safe feeling. So I feel like you should look for that feeling.
I have a lot of guy friends, but never a boyfriend. I'm almost 19. What do I do? First of all, I feel like you're like, I'm almost 19. This is so late. And I totally get what you're saying because it does feel like when you're 19, you're old. But in reality, in like the long span of life, it's just annoying that people feel like they're so behind when they're 19 and haven't had a boyfriend. But it's like you are like just becoming an adult. Like you got plenty of time.
Plenty. Yeah.
What would you guys say?
What was the phrasing?
She has a lot of guy friends. But not a boyfriend. What does she do? I think she's saying, I want a boyfriend. Why do I only have
Here's the thing. You might be friend zoning yourself.
Oh, that's my first problem with that.
Like, I don't know exactly. Maybe you guys can speak more on this. Why some people just can't show interest ever.
You two, I am very curious.
Some people, they have a problem where it's like, no one will ever know that you like them because you act so just like, hey, bro. Like, they're never going to know.
It's literally me.
And that might be you.
I'm the problem, it's me.
I think it's a deep fear of rejection.
Oh, and like a label on yourself that you are rejected as well, but subconsciously. Anywho.
You have to like do something different.
It's like everything.
For the guy that you
maybe
like.
Branch out a little bit to be like show interest. Might feel vulnerable.
It's scary because you feel like everything you do is going through a weird filter of like friend zoning yourself. Mm. So like you think you're being obvious.
You're not.
You think that you're like putting it out, and you're absolutely not. It's I had to have a trusted advisor. Teach me how to whip out the emojis.
Yeah, you might need to ask a friend, hey, do you think I friend zone myself?
Ask your friend. That.
Or, ask them to, like, see when you're around these guys.
You have all these guy friends. Yeah. Why don't you ask one of your guy friends? They're guys.
Yeah,
ask
you
one
are
of them.
Friends with them.
That's true.
Okay, ask your guy friends what is going
it's
on.
It's going to require vulnerability for sure. So you got to just get through the vulnerability part of it. Because it is very vulnerable to put yourself out there and be like, I'm interested. And so you might have to like ask some friends, like, what are things I can do to clearly convey that I'm interested?
And also just date yourself. Like, take yourself on a date and ask yourself, what am I looking for in a relationship? Literally, interview yourself
you're right.
and ask yourself the questions that you would ask someone on a date. Because if you're not in that mindset of dating, it's going to be harder for you to make the leap from. And I don't, honestly, if you're already friends with someone, I don't know that you should really try to go there with them. Like, that might just be kind of weird.
I think it depends.
Maybe, but I feel like if you guys are friends, there's probably a reason that you're not dating.
Because you're friend zoning yourself.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just feel like you might have kind of gone past that point. You just maybe,
well, it depends.
Maybe you should turn your gaze
maybe
to someone.
Maybe she has a new,
new
friend.
Maybe.
Or, but maybe it's someone that likes them
but
back,
saying,
but they don't know.
You can't just do the same thing you've been doing and expect
no, you're
going
to have to change something.
You have
to
do something different. And I think taking yourself on a date is a great place. Because literally, take yourself to your favorite place to eat, bring your journal, and write out some answers to yourself. What am I looking for? Who am I? What do I bring to the table in relationship? What traits do I think would complement my personality? And really think about that. And then when you kind of have a vision of that, you can start like recognizing that when you actually meet someone in that realm.
Okay. And we're going to do one more question because as we're filming this, we're about to do a Patreon live stream. So we have to wrap it up to get to the Patreon live stream. So we're going to do one last question. And this is, we're each going to give like a shorter answer to this, which is, what is one thing you wish you knew before you started dating? I wish I knew that the more you can just be yourself, like you don't have to be this girl who's going to be appealing, just be yourself. The closer you're going to be to finding the man who actually loves you for who you really are.
So you just need
to authentically be you and don't try to please. Be yourself.
I would say beware of chill girl syndrome where you try too hard to be chill and let everything go when it shouldn't be let go.
Mm.
You're just like, oh, it's fine. No worries. No.
But it's not no
there
worries.
There are worries. If there's worries, say there's worries. Don't say there's no worries when there's worries.
It's a good one. It's a lie.
Because you don't have to be chill in order for someone to be with you. And if you do, that's a bad sign.
Then you have to be chill forever. What's he going to do when you give birth?
Yeah. This girl, oh my gosh. This lady was talking about her divorce and she's like, I said to my husband, oh, I think we can do this on this day actually. And then he moved out because I've never disagreed with him before.
Oh my gosh. So you marry an insane man.
Yeah. So no to the chill girls.
We don't want that. Okay. What do you guys think?
Okay. I would say if you think he's crazy when you first meet him, you're right.
Oh, I love it.
Ooh.
So
that's real.
Like your first impression of a problem is true. So just
I agree.
Believe yourself.
Mm. Okay, I would say you don't have to be perfect to be loved.
Oh, I love it.
I know it sounds really cliche and you're probably not going to believe me when you hear this, but it's really true that if you show your imperfections, it makes you more lovable. I can't explain why, but it's really true that when you show someone the things about you that you're vulnerable and that you're scared to show, they actually love you. The right person, the right people will love you more.
Oh, I love it.
That's basically exactly what I was trying to say. Yes.
Yeah. Because
Yes.
I'd like to add to Lauren that I developed a rule in dating that was if it's weird in the beginning, if something's off or they're really flaky or just things are just not vibing,
it's never a fluke.
It's not going to get better. It's going to be weird later
true.
On. It's just stop
it's
tricking yourself. Oh,
well,
it was just a bad day. Oh, he's just tired. Oh, he's busy. No. Stop making excuses. If it's weird in the beginning, it's going to continue to be weird throughout the relationship.
Yeah,
and
if
I'm telling
gets,
you.
If it gets weird after it was good, it's not going to go back to good, probably.
That's really sad, too. Oh, that actually happens a lot.
We need to do another one of these with Lisa. Another idea was things I'm scared to ask my mom.
That's fun.
So I think we should do that one with Lisa because Lisa loves and gives great advice.
She
loves
does.
To give and gives great advice. So let's move on to Sister Spotlight. Where? Each sister gets the spot. Wait, a different sister gets a spotlight each week. We have Get Real with Christina, Sappy or Sassy Thoughts with Kath, Lisa's Corner, Amy's Current Crisis, and Lauren's Take. And this week, the sister is... ding! Me!
Christina!
So, put a spotlight on herself.
Kath gave me this topic, and I was like, yep, let's do that, which was finish strong.
Ooh.
I'm going to make it short and sweet, so you need a little motivation. Here you go. So, finish strong. What does that mean to me? It means we go through ups and downs. We make mistakes. We trip. We fall. We screw things up. We broke something. We missed a deadline, whatever. And then we're just like, I guess I'm going to give up now. No. You got to finish strong. Even if everything was not so good, you were just down, not the best, you can't just assume that your finish is also going to be horrible. You don't even know what's going to happen. Like we said, you're not a mind reader. You're not a fortune teller. You don't know what could happen if you finish strong, if you choose to follow through, to commit, to give your all in the end. We often think, if I didn't have a great start, or if I'm not doing great in the middle of something, then I should just taper off and just end it with a little half-hearted whatever. No, don't do that.
Don't
give it your all and commit to finishing whatever it is strong. It doesn't matter that the beginning wasn't great. It doesn't matter that the middle wasn't great. It doesn't matter that yesterday wasn't great. It doesn't matter that today wasn't great. It doesn't matter that right now wasn't great, because you can make tomorrow great if you choose to finish strong. So whatever it is, I know you're thinking about something probably, some kind of project, something you're doing, something you wanted to do. Maybe you gave up on it halfway through, or maybe you're in it right now. Recommit to finishing strong.
Finish strong.
Show it. Show yourself what you can do. Show yourself what you're made of and see what happens. The end.
Love it.
Love it. Great one to end the end.
A clap for myself. All right. Anyway, we'll see you guys in the next episode. Thanks for joining us.
Love ya.
You've been listening to the Cimarelli Podcast. Follow Cimarelli on Spotify and subscribe on YouTube. You can also find Cimarelli on Facebook and Instagram.